Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am very excited to be back again here with you this week and every week to help you let go of fear and get your life in gear. So this week we are going to switch gears from topics that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. But there's going to be a through line, kind of a thread to the conversation. I have been noticing that in the last few weeks, I have done a lot of conversations around the theme of neuroscience and what's going on in the latest research into the human brain and how that's impacting us. And we've talked last week about what was called emotional balance with a wonderful new author and physician who's come out with a new book that's basically looking at the integration of the right side of the brain with the left side of the brain and how that's impacting the way we view all of our medical activities and changing the way we do our work around healing. And this kind of neuroscience that's really bringing us to a whole new understanding of the way the brain works, that the malleability, the permeability of the brain is actually changing in so many areas, changing the way we view our mental health, the way we view our physical health. And today we're actually going to add a whole new dimension, something that's very, very interesting for me because I work with people in corporate America and in businesses a lot of the time around leadership issues. And so today's show I'm calling Leadership as Artistry. And we're going to talk with an expert in the area of executive development and leadership development, someone who helps businesses to really reach whole new levels of creativity and innovation and effectiveness. And she does that by using the latest and greatest science in the brain, so neuroscience. And so we're going to look at how the research that we have been doing in the last 5 to 10 years around brain development and brain plasticity is actually beginning to have an impact on the field of leadership. So as we transition to this topic, I want to throw out a question for you that's going to feel a little bit kind of like a non sequitur before I bring in my guest, but you'll see how it's all interconnected. And the question is, have you done anything artistic lately? Have you written a poem or done any painting or played a musical instrument or just been reconnected to your artistic side recently? And if not, we're going to talk about how that side of our brain connects to our effectiveness, to our innovation, and to our operating as business people and even successful, healthy individuals in today's society. So today's subject is leadership as artistry. And by artistry, we're going to talk about the integration of the right brain and the left brain, sort of the scientific, logical side of ourselves, and connect them to what it means to bring creativity and artistry into our businesses or into our leadership roles. So in order to do that, I have a very, very exciting guest with me today, someone that is an expert in this area. And her name is Ipek Sarasoy, and Ipek is an executive coach and an organizational consultant to Fortune 1000 companies. She specializes in helping individual leaders and leadership teams attain greater effectiveness by bringing their whole emotional, social, and creative intelligence, including what we're going to talk about today, their right brain capacities, especially as they pertain to communications and innovation and creativity issues. She's currently working on a new book called The Leader's Muse, which is going to be an evolution of her doctoral dissertation research, which is called An Intersection Between Artistic Sensibilities and Organizational Leadership. So I am very, very excited to have a expert in organizational consulting and in the field, the new evolving field of neuroscience and leadership with me today, and want to welcome Ipek to the show. Hey, Ipek, are you there?
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you. I am so excited to have you on the show. You know, last week I had a guest who was here talking about the integration of the right and left brain and the impact of neuroscience on medical breakthroughs and on healing.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I thought we'd switch gears today and talk with you about the same kinds of developments and how they're impacting the world of leadership and organizations.
Yeah, that's great. It's great to see all these different applications of kind of the same phenomenon, you know, whether it's in education or medicine or leadership, or it's just, I mean, there is, I think, a consciousness shift going on where there is a desire for more of this aesthetic, artistic stuff in life. We need it.
Yeah, and what's amazing to me is that, you know, as I kicked off the show with this question about whether people that are listening have actually been operating, you know, in an artistic way, whether you've been connected to your artistic side. And I think a lot of us in the business world kind of, you know, we hear a question like that and we say, okay, so what does that have to do with the business? What does that have to do with leadership?
Right.
You know, it's great that we have artists and people out there doing music and poetry and writing and all of those things, but that's a completely different world from the business world. And I think that's very similar to, you know, last week I was talking to a physician who was bringing these same kinds of holistic, integrated, creative approaches into the medical field. And he was talking about how traditional doctors and traditional biomedically oriented physicians kind of sort of shake their heads and do a double take when he brings those subjects up. And I imagine, given the work that you do, that the same kind of thing happens to you.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. Yeah. I'm really excited to have you with me here today and to talk about, you know, how do you bring these subjects into the real world of leadership and business?
Yeah. You know, a lot of times it's in through the back door. And then sometimes people are more asking for it because they really feel like, wow, we need to get more innovative. We need to get more creative. We need to get more collaborative, all of which are related to, you know, the capacities that come out of the right brain. And sometimes they ask for it, but they don't really know what they're getting into when they ask for it. So sometimes it's a surprise because they never anticipated that the next thing they knew, they would be like watercoloring. So that's kind of been interesting, but there is, you know, I think there's so many benefits to doing this in business that you can actually make a strong business case for it. So even if you need to put it into, you know, business language, more and more there's growing awareness around how, you know, just depending on the logical, rational, scientific approach to, you know, to business, to only what we can measure and put on a spreadsheet and, you know, making believe that that's all there is in the world, that's no longer really working. And, you know, you have authors like Daniel Pink and Ken Robinson, who's an educational reformer, who have really brought some of these ideas into the mainstream enough that there's, you know, the door is cracked a little bit to kind of get in there and say, okay, now how do you do this? How do you activate the right brain? And in doing so, how is that going to enable you to operate and function differently in a business world, especially in a leadership role?
Yeah.
So
I think what you're talking about is so exciting. And I think that it's sort of the inevitable evolution of the streams coming together. You know, I remember 10 years ago when I was first working in corporate America around leadership issues and beginning to do executive coaching, and people back then were really hesitant to think about the integration of creativity and artistic kinds of activities into business. And now I think that we have the science, you know, the science is beginning to demonstrate for people, some of whom are sometimes a bit resistant to this kind of thing, that the way the brain works, it actually makes really sound sense, sound logical sense to bring right brain activities into your business environment, into your life in general as an adult to be more creative and more effective. So, you know, I'm so excited that you're here. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about your background and how you came to be involved in this kind of research.
Okay.
And so those of you that are joining us today, we have Ipek Sarafsoy with us for the whole hour to talk about these latest innovations in neuroscience and the impact they're having on health, creativity, and today in particular, leadership. So our show today is called Leadership as Artistry. We would love to hear from you. So if you're interested in sending in a question or giving us a comment, you can reach us a couple of ways. You can reach us online at www.transformationtalkradio.com. And if you go to the website, you'll see a little box that says instant feedback. You can send us a note immediately. Or you can call us at 1-800-930-2819. We would be very happy to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Ipek Sarafsoy. So stay with us.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
It's March Madness at Central Auto Group in Plainfield, home of Ford, Mazda, and Hyundai. Central is the number one buying destination year after year. Plus, over 150 pre-owned in stock with prices to rock and the most certified pre-owned cars starting at $4,995. Central has a car for everyone. They guarantee your credit approval and guarantee you up to $6,000 for your trade. At Central Hyundai, the 2011 Sonata will save you a fistful of money on gas and drive it for $179 a month. At Central Mazda, drive the Mazda 3 for $180. A month. At Central Ford, the 2011 F-150. Drive it for $199 a month. Plus, America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000 miles. Central will beat any dealer's price or give you $2,000. Test drive CentralAutoGroupCT.com and see the savings. Central, exit 87 off 395, open 7 days. Call 860-564-4014.
All roads lead to Central. Your number one buying destination. Central Auto Group.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
In the last 30 years, over 1 million people have gone from busy and a bit overweight to busy enjoying life, having lost weight using MetaFast products. The Take Shape for Life program has taken that success of MetaFast meals even further with a free certified health coach and a realistic and simple plan. You're not fixing a problem. You're on a journey to optimal health. Learn more. Talk to a health coach and hear their story of success. Call 877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with executive coach and organizational consultant Ipek Sarafsoy, who is an expert in what we're calling leadership as artistry, which is, you know, almost like an interesting, you know, it's almost like a contradiction in terms to when you think about it. But what's really exciting about what Ipek does and writes about and works with her clients is that she's bringing the latest research in neuroscience and around creativity and the evolution of our understanding of the brain into the real world applications and supporting businesses and organizations and leaders to use tools and practices to be more effective, more creative, and more innovative. So, Ipek, I am thrilled to have you here, and I want you to talk a little bit about your background. Like, how did you evolve your own work and start doing this kind of research with organizations?
Well, I have a very eclectic background. So when I first entered the business world, it was back in back in the late 80s, I started out as a stockbroker and moved into investment banking and spent 10 years of the first part of my career, that 10 years on Wall Street. And that was the world where I was exposed to a way of seeing what's going on through the spreadsheet, which is that those, you know, what counts, the variables and considerations that count in business are those things which you can measure and put on a spreadsheet.
Right.
And if you can't measure it and put it on a spreadsheet, if you can't quantify it, then you don't deal with it. You just pretend it's not important. And of course, I didn't have, you know, the language to talk about this back then, but after spending 10 years doing that, and looking at the world through that lens, but I must say there is one quick aside there because I was very relationship oriented. I was the one who went out and got new business and got deals and the one who was in charge of managing client relationships. So I was always out in a relational role. And then, you know, when I got to this point 10 years into it and I thought, gosh, there's got to be more to life. I wasn't feeling that inner satisfaction that I felt, might have been a possibility for myself. I took a year off and I made a major career change that entailed spending 1 year at a spiritual seminary doing some very deep soul searching and then discovered that there's this world of executive coaching and management development and executive development, which I knew nothing about when I was on Wall Street. And so after my year in seminary, I went out and got trained to become an executive coach and basically hung up a shingle and decided, okay, I'm going to do executive coaching. And then soon after that, I joined a couple different consulting companies where we did communications coaching, communications consulting, and basically I worked for the next 10 years with other organizations that were in this area of developing leaders and developing organizations. And then 6 years ago, I went on my own. So simultaneous to all of that, I got a master's degree in psychology and I'm in the process of trying to complete my doctoral degree now in organizational psychology, basically. And, during that process, I also became a mother. So the whole parenting experience, I bring that up because that was, so instrumental in helping me start thinking about art. I had never really thought about the right brain and art, but just, you know, I mentioned Daniel Pink before the break. His book, A Whole New Mind, came out in about 2005. My daughter was born in 2003. So when my daughter was 2 years old and I was sitting around the crafts table cutting and coloring and doing all this stuff that I had never engaged in before in my life.
Well, since you were 2 years old yourself.
It was, yes, the two-year-old in me, my inner child, my inner artist finally had an opportunity after, you know, 40 some odd years to start, you know, getting a little fresh air. So I'm sitting around playing with my daughter and thinking, gosh, this is like something new. Something's going on here. I was getting kind of sucked into this new space, and I didn't have language to say what was going on, but I just felt like I was in this altered state when I was playing with these art materials around a table with my daughter. So I had, you know, the child energy from my daughter. I had the fun, creative energy from the materials. And then I would go off and do my work with my clients and think, wow, there's something here. There's some kind of bridge or translation that wants to happen. And I, of course, back then I didn't really know what that was, but I started diving into it and doing some research around what is this thing, you know, has there been, you know, all I knew about art was art therapy. And I thought, well, maybe that's a good place to start looking around. And then I found this field called expressive arts or creative expression, which is all about using art and expression to start getting in touch with parts of ourselves that we hadn't really been in touch with before. And a lot of that is pre-verbal stuff, stuff that we can't necessarily talk about. So what differentiates like art therapy from maybe traditional therapy is that you're actually accessing things through the right brain that you're not even ready to talk about yet. Because when something gets to the point of being able to give language to it, you're already in the left brain. When you have to reduce things down to being to language.
Right. So okay.
Even right brain conversation, and there are some, you know, language oriented ways of working with the right brain, like storytelling and poetry. It's not traditional linear language.
Right.
But it's the right brain is much more circuitous. And like even the way that I'm talking right now, it's just kind of, you know, I'm a little bit here and there. It's not exactly a linear, you know, argument that I'm gonna put out. So anyway, where was I? That's what happens when you go into the right brain.
Well, that's great that you point that out, because I think that what we're talking about is accessing and utilizing a portion of our creativity in ways that most people in leadership roles, you know, they just don't think about it in terms of, you know, they think of it as silly or immature or something that's for children. And along the same lines as, you know, my guests in the last couple of weeks that we're talking about holistic ways of looking at health.
Yeah.
And bringing in sort of the right brain, more integrated approaches to healing. You know, I think what you're doing is, you know, in your own discoveries and now in your research, you're looking at how can we as leaders or business people access those kinds of creative principles, right?
Exactly. Creative and also relational, because along with the right brain comes things like empathy and a sense of connectedness,
right?
Compassion. You know, all of these things are really stuff that is held in the right brain. So when we think of like aesthetics, you know, which is associated with the senses, you know, when you think aesthetics, like one way to think about this is anesthesia. So when anesthetic is the opposite of aesthetic. So when you're anesthetized, try saying that three times, you're basically numb. But aesthetics have to do with the senses and the sense of being fully alive. So there's there's a certain enrichment that you feel to life, a certain satisfaction that's very, very intrinsic, that's very much from an internally driven thing that comes with these aesthetic satisfactions and these aesthetic ways of being.
And so, what you're pointing to comes through the access of the right brain, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because that is, yeah. So if we think about the left brain as being the logical, the linear, the science side, if you will, of the mind, and the right brain as being the more fluid and sense-oriented and feeling and emotional-oriented art side of the brain, you know, we need a balance of the two. We need the science and the art.
Right.
And I think what's happened, unfortunately, it's happened in education too. That's another area I have a lot of passion about. But we've seen it happen in the world of organizational leadership, is that it's been very imbalanced, more on the side of the scientific, the measurable, the rational, the logical.
Right.
And we need to balance that if we're going to have creative organizations and creative individuals that are going to be able to innovate and connect and collaborate and be satisfied and happy and find meaning in life. We need to balance, bring the two back into balance with each other.
Right. Well, that's so great. Beautifully spoken. I think when we come back from the next break, I want you to dig into some suggested practices that you may have for some of the organizations that you work with and examples, because basically what we're talking about is kind of healing our organizations the way we heal ourselves by becoming more emotionally balanced, which is why this topic is exactly the same thing we talked about. I talked about last week. Last week, I was talking with a physician who's focused on the body. Mm-hmm. This week, we're talking about the body of an organization becoming more healthy, more resilient, more adaptable, more related. And in a sense, as we come out of the recession, you know, we can talk about this a little bit in the second half of the show, how we can bounce back from the recession and be more successful by being more balanced. Yep. So we're going to dig into this with EPEC. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I hope you'll stick with us. We'll be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am in dialogue today with EPEC Sarafsoy, an executive coach and organizational consultant, who is talking with us today about the latest and greatest research in the area of neuroscience and brain plasticity, and how that's impacting the field of leadership. And just before the break, EPEC was talking a little bit about her evolution as a consultant and how she got interested and involved with this sort of rare intersection between the creative arts and creative expression and organizational effectiveness and leadership. And so I want EPEC, if you would, to maybe jump in here and talk a little bit about what you recommend to people. So if somebody out there is listening to this and they work at a big company, or maybe they work at a organization, a hospital, or they even have their own business, and they're thinking they would like to be more creative, they would like to be more balanced, both emotionally and intelligently and relationally, talk to us about some of the practices that you found have been helpful when you go into organizations that, you know, I know some places are going to be a little bit resistant to this, but once you give them an indication that you're working from leading edge science, and they start to show sort of an opening or a little bit of an interest, what kinds of things do you suggest for them?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways to go about this. There's suggestions that we can make to today's audience about how to get your own right brain activated, if you will, and which in turn will lead to a more enriching life for you, a more satisfying life for you, as well as bringing more creative capacities to whatever you do in your workplace. And then there's things that we can talk about also about what workplaces can do for their teams, their executives, like in the organization, what can be done. So there's kind of two different sides to this. So from an, let's start with an individual development perspective. So like when I'm coaching executives, I've kind of developed this reputation now as being a very non-traditional executive coach, which, you know, I take pride in. It's not necessarily, you know, the best for business in the sense of, you know, wow, everybody in the whole world is knocking down my door, but I get the people knocking down my door that are ready to do the work, which is what I want. So it's kind of a nice screening process.
That's great.
Yeah. So what's really great is that people who want to do this kind of work, it's not traditional, conventional executive coaching that focuses just on the behaviors and the competencies that they want to build in the workplace. It's more of kind of a pseudo life slash executive coaching because it's about working with the whole person and shifting the person as a whole human being. And then when that person shows up in their organization, in their leadership role, that is, they've already made a shift. They're showing up differently. They're relating to the world differently. They're more, coming from that balanced perspective. So a lot of what we do for working on at the individual one-on-one level is look at how can they, what do they like to do? Like, what are the right brain kind of activities that they already enjoy doing somewhat to build more time and carve out more time in their life to do more of those activities? And what's great, you had mentioned a little earlier in the show about neuroplasticity and how the brain actually does have the capacity to rewire itself. So even though a lot of us have become kind of hardwired in a more traditional left brain kind of, especially in the business world, to activate and access these right brain capacities require practices to start awakening and enlivening the right brain. And that comes from a lot of aesthetic and artistic types of endeavors. So those can be anything from taking up a hobby that you used to have, you know, back in college. It could be playing a musical instrument. It could be doing some kind of visual art like painting or photography or working with clay and sculpting. It could be spending time in nature. This is an area where we also wake up our sensibilities, going out and really taking in, you know, every day you go on a walk, even if it's the same path, it's never the same walk. Really paying attention to and attuning to what's the weather? What does it feel like on my skin to be walking in this breeze? Maybe to close your eyes and feel what the sun feels like on you, to feel what it feels like to be in the shade, to listen to the chirping of the birds, to pay attention to the plants. So a lot of this has to do with slowing down our mind, because our left brain is so busy that unless we are actively engaged in an activity where the left brain thinks it's not needed, it's going to be in there. It's going to be analytical. It's going to be judging and criticizing and evaluating and all of that.
So let me stop you for a second, because this is the classic moment when people would say, yeah, but I don't have time for that, or that's not practical. And what you're talking about is something that's, I mean, you're getting at a level of like something that's essential for health and creativity. So what do you tell people when they say to you, well, I just don't have time for that?
Right. So it's a matter of, you know, you can go as fast as you want and run around in circles, or you can slow down and go fast in a much more intelligent way because of slowing down up front. So we live in a world, you know, you use the word practical, and that is, you know, a lot of business people are all about utility and practicality and efficiency. And, you know, how does this tie into the practicality, the utility? Well, aesthetics are kind of, it's a separate piece. It's very different than utility. And to let go of that utility mindset long enough to see the benefits of the aesthetic. So this is like upfront, giving yourself permission to even make the time. So the sell to yourself that you need to do is, okay, I'm going to do this as an experiment, and I'm going to, you know, for a week or a couple weeks, try doing, you know, try carving out some extra time to spend on these aesthetic, artistic, whatever. And it can include things like spending time with your children in a meaningful, mindful way. It could be spending time with animals, you know, the nonverbal world. Mm-hmm. And doing that, then you almost have to experience it for yourself of how that shifts something in us that enables us to then show up and relate in a more intelligent way. So it's like it's slowing down to go faster. What, there's some kind of colloquialism or saying about that. Do you know that, Jeff?
Yeah, well, slowing down to the pace of life, I guess. Something of that sort.
Well, it's right? Like slow down to speed up or something like that, where by taking the time to slow down, we're enhancing the quality of our thinking, the quality of our ability to notice things, and therefore to make more intelligent decisions.
Is there a way to actually know when you're in your right brain as opposed to your left brain?
It feels different. It feels very different. Did you, or maybe people in your audience, you might have seen a couple years ago, Jill Boyd Taylor, she was a neuroscientist.
Right.
Who actually had a stroke in her left brain. And she observed herself having this stroke and what it felt like. The right brain is all about experience. The left brain is about thinking. So once you start activating the right brain and feeling what that right brain state feels like, it really feels very different. You don't feel like you're in your head.
And is it possible to access that energy just by being, like you said, just by spending quality time with your children or walking in the woods or something like that?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean,
but if you're walking in the woods and you're thinking about paying the bills.
And you catch yourself. This is a practice. It's like building muscles.
So you have to
kind of practice it and practice it in a disciplined way. It's like meditating. Walking in the woods is another form of meditation.
Right.
And then you catch yourself thinking about paying the woods, and then you thought, oh my gosh, I just walked a block and I missed that tree and I missed that deer that came out to say hello. And oh, that flower bush, that wasn't there 2 days ago. You realize. So you start catching what you miss, what the cost is of being always in the left brain. And there is a cost.
Yeah, and it seems to me that what you're talking about also has to do with being in the future and in the past, that the left brain spends a lot of time not being in the present.
Exactly.
Compared to the right brain.
The right brain is all about being in the present. And this is another thing that Jill Boyd Taylor had talked about when she did that TED Talk, which was really cool. She brought out the human brain. I mean, here's a brain scientist talking about having a stroke in the left brain. It was phenomenal. But the right brain has a very different sense of time than the left brain does. So the right brain is all about the here and now. It's very timeless. It loses track of time. So there's like time management. The concept of time management to the right brain is totally, totally meaningless. Mm. Whereas the left brain is all about planning. It's all about the past and the future. And the right brain is all about experiencing the now, right now, as fully as possible.
Right. Well, yeah, and I think what you're talking about is this idea of getting present and being more expansive and connected, whether it's to nature or to something artistic. But it's actually, you know, we talk about, I opened the show by asking the question of our listeners, you know, when was the last time you gave yourself permission to do something artistic?
Yep.
And it's really, as you said, sort of getting back in touch with that childlike, innocent, open, connected part of ourselves.
Yep.
And what's really powerful is that we actually become whole and heal. Right?
Mm-hmm. Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. With CRA, we are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and I am in dialogue with organizational consultant and executive coach Ipek Sarafsoy, and Ipek and I are talking about the latest evolution of research in brain science, neuroscience, and the integration of right brain and left brain studies and how that's impacting the field of leadership. And Ipek, before I lose you, we're in our last few minutes here, I want to talk a little bit about what you do with organizations. I know you spoke a little bit about how you work with individuals to get them kind of woken up and attuned to the value and really the imperative of this balance between the right and the left brain. But when you share with us some of your techniques and practices that you've used inside organizations that people might want to think about if they're, you know, running a team or working inside a company, because you're really bringing kind of the latest and greatest research.
Yeah. So inside organizations, a lot of the opportunities to do things, and again, there's a really delicate balancing act between working at the comfort level of people when they're either in an organization and therefore in their organizational mindset, the more left brain mindset, or whether that's just where they are all the time, which a lot of business people have tended to adopt that for their entire, you know, day in, day out life. But we have to maintain a balance between bringing in some of this creative work and still tying it in and putting it into language that is used in the organizational world. And that translation is still a little tricky. So there needs to be a lot of thought put into how to introduce some of these exercises and some of this material in a way that constantly ties it back to the benefits to the business. Because otherwise, people feel like they're wasting time, they're just having fun, and it's, you know, not, what, why are they there? So, like, for instance, some of the offsites and stuff that I've done, we, you know, sometimes we call them, instead of workshops, play shops, because playfulness is an important aspect of the right brain. The right brain likes to play instead of, you know, be serious and professional. So that it gets into that more expansive state just by calling it a play shop. Now, not everybody may feel comfortable, like, hey, this is on company time. Why are we going to a play shop? So we need to make a really strong business case up front for how this is going to benefit the business. And that's still an area where the field, the field of aesthetic leadership, if you will, aesthetic approaches to organizations, we're still trying to figure out that right balance of how do you hold the integrity and give them that full experience, that full right brain experience, like in these workshops or play shops or whatever.
But on the other hand, if you're talking about neuroscience, there is an access route now in describing some of the scientific research and how that's demonstrating the need for optimal balance in order to have optimal human functioning.
That's true. And I think that that's what enables us to get in the door to start with, is that intellectually they buy in. But then in the moment, there's still this, you know, sometimes there's still this resistance in the moment to letting go and getting fully into the right brain experience. So, for instance, an example, you know, where I've done workshops where maybe the first half of the day we'll engage in right brain activities. It could be, you know, we'll start out with something small, like maybe a quick drawing, spending some time maybe communing in nature, listening to music, maybe doing a collage, maybe doing some music making together, actually, like playing with instruments and stuff, playing with puppets. I mean, there's a whole host of kinds of, you know, it could be listening to a poem and reflecting on a poem, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe the last 2 hours of the time together, say, okay, now we're going to roll up our sleeves and brainstorm about this particular business issue that we have. So what happens, and this is where it's really cool, is that the time spent up front, maybe the 4 hours of the 6 hours that's spent having that right brain experience, which is taking people really into an altered state and helping them drop down and activate this other part of the brain, then during that 2 hours of brainstorming, the conversations are absolutely fascinating. People are coming up with things that they might not have, you know, come up with had they spent even a couple of days on the topic before. They're relating to each other, where it's much more dialogic and conversational versus, you know, debate and discussion oriented. There's just a much more communal feel to the conversation.
Wow. I mean, what I love about what you're talking about is that you're reconnecting people with sort of their childlike, innocent, creative energy that at the end of the day is the source of all the great ideas. And companies are always saying they want to come up with great ideas.
Yep, that's the wellspring. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's really, really powerful stuff. And it's what I love is that, you know, there are those of us, myself and you, that have been doing this kind of work in organizations for many years and have kind of always operated a bit at the edge, sometimes over the edge. But now the science and the research and the work that you're doing in writing is actually bringing us up to date. It's like proof in the pudding that this really is important stuff. If we want to be creative, if we want to be related, if we want to have success, at, you know, it's sort of the next generation of businesses.
That's
why I wanted to have you on the show, because I think it's really important for people out there to hear, you know, not just the latest and greatest information around healing and health, although I think that's really important, but to take it to another broader level, which is how it impacts our society. And in our society, it's business, it's organizations. that That's run right. the show. So
That's right. And it is becoming more mainstream. It really is. Like you were saying, you know, when we were doing this many years ago, it was bleeding edge stuff. Now it's just regular leading edge, cutting edge stuff.
Yeah, but it's beginning to have an impact, beginning to get accepted, at least on a smaller scale. And I know I'm working with a hospital and physicians that I think normally, whether they're doing their medical work, you know, their clinical work, or whether they're doing the organizational side, they have to be the most, some of the most left-brain people there is on the planet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really trained to be left-brain oriented. And as you pointed out, you know, this famous woman who had a stroke and studied it, herself, you know, she was a scientist. She was a medical practitioner. So this is the breakthrough time that we live in to get connected to our capabilities at a deeper level.
Definitely.
So any last words you want to leave our listeners with as far as your work and what you're hoping to accomplish with this kind of work?
I'm just really excited that there's an audience that's interested in hearing about this, and that I'm really excited about the work that you're doing. And more, this is the movement. People are moving in this direction. Education is going to move in this direction. Organizations are going to move in this direction. And if we're going to have a future, this is going to be the future.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is really integration, holistic, balanced, right brain, left brain, whether it's health, whether it's healing, whether it's leadership, bringing that creative, artistic, whole sense of being back into the world in a big way. And I am thrilled that you took the time to come and chat with me today. Let's give out your contact information for anyone who would like to follow up with you. You have a website, which is?
Yeah, it's www.isconsultingco.com.
So that's www.isconsultingco.com.
And I'm also on Twitter, Ipek Sheriff Soy.
Great.
Yep.
Well, I really appreciate your taking the time. It's been wonderful. The hour flies by.
I know. It's timeless. We've been in a right brain zone.
That's right. I will look forward to reading your book, The Leader's Muse, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Definitely.
So, everyone, have a great week. I'll look forward to seeing you back here next Monday at 5 o'clock on WBLQ and TransformationTalkRadio.com. Good night, everyone.
Bye.